Fred Film Radio from the 76th Venice International Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, this is Nicola Comotti here, the 76th edition of the Venice Film Festival, and today I'm pleased to be joined by Suhail Dabak, Matthew Michael Karmahak, and Adam Bessat. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
You're here with Mosul. Matthew, your film, you guys are the main faces that we really get drawn into the film. Especially your eyes. Your eyes are much more powerful than some weapons involved.
Oh my God.
And Adam, like you as well, you have such a journey into this. In a bunch of hours, like your development is insane. So there's a lot to talk about. But let's start, of course, Matthew. Let's try to kind of like outline a bit like your involvement with this, of course, and when you really decided, okay, this is it, we're going to do this.
My involvement started with an article that Agbo and Condé Nast sent me, a New Yorker piece written by this really wonderful young journalist named Luke Mogelson, who was embedded with the Nineveh SWAT team, lived with them for weeks, and just wrote about their lives. And I decided I wanted to be involved with it kind of before I finished the first page. It was just such a compelling look at people I never fathomed, that I didn't know these guys existed, which is a huge blind spot. It says more about me than anything else. But my country has been at war with Iraq since I was in school, since I was a child, on and off for 30 years now. And in that time, I just never guessed that the Nineveh SWAT team was there. And I was struck by, despite the different language, despite the different religion, despite the different culture, the different continent, these people wanted the very same things for themselves, for their homes, for their families that I want, and I think all decent human beings want. So it was just striking on that most fundamental human level that despite all of these outside differences, here's this thing that these men are fighting to the death for. And I felt it behooved me to try and tell this story on film to engender that same sort of reaction in an audience that I had when I finished the article. So it was literally an article that was emailed to me that grabbed me 100 words in. Yeah.
And what is really striking as well about the film, you really dragged us, you guys as well, you drag us through the rubble. Yeah. So, and as you said, like, it's also, it says a lot about us, you know, the Western, so saturated with images that we become detached. And almost paradoxically, this film is almost truer than the true images, because we are with you and we sense also the emotions involved. You know, like, there are people out there. This is not just like bombing, you know, random bombing. And especially for you guys as the actors, the involvement almost is the responsibility to create not only a part of a SWAT team, but actually a part of people that are from there, and that's their country. So to what extent you really put yourself into the character, and maybe to what extent you try to refrain from being too emotional, because I think it's a kind of like it's a two-way thing. Either it becomes too emotional or it becomes actually just a image in a way.
You know something, it doesn't matter you from where. If you are from the west or from the north or the south, you're still a human, you know what I mean?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, you're still a human. You don't know nothing about us, maybe how we acting or how the movies going on. Maybe we are a good actor or we're not. But when you try us, now you're going to see everything. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter you're from where. Because we're from Iraq, like I'm originally from Iraq. I feel about every single word he wrote. Mm-hmm. I feel it because I live on it. I live on it. I live in U.S., but I know what's going on there. Because I heard from my friend. Everybody, it wasn't in Mosul. My friend, maybe my cousin, all of them. They told us all the stories. And all the stories, truth. And of course, it's going to touch your heart. Like this team, the Matthew, he wrote the script. That's really what's going on there. Mm-hmm. It's really live there. There's a guy, his name, I think is a Mizer, right?
Yes.
Major
Mizer. Yeah.
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 He decided to do like this.
And Adam, your character Kawam is kind of like, we are probably the one that we identify the most, because we start from the very, very first screen and then we just lead towards, you know, your emotions, your way to become part of the national space. As I said earlier, in a bunch of hours, you need to grow, as like other people would take years. And also you start being part of this and you start understanding more about the humanity behind, and not just this, you know, legend of these superhuman people that are still fighting ISIS. I just wonder, like, especially Matthew and Adam, the way that you work together, because you kind of like the arc, you know, the human arc with which we travel through the film.
Yeah. Well, this arc, I think, it's written. You just have to, when you have a brilliant scenario like this, you just dive in. It's like in theater. You just, you know, good writing is great writing, and you just follow step by step. And diving in and being really, I think Fukawa was being on the edge all the time, you know, and not try, as you said, not overdo it. And I think these guys were, there were a few big emotion, big repair, you know, in the movie, like, you know, how do you say?
Jumps, like?
Yeah, no, when you say, like, I mean.
Evolution?
Yeah, points.
Yeah.
You know,
yes,
like
yes,
points
yes,
to this
some
point,
key
this
points,
point.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have like big emotion, and like for example, you had the fear, you know, and then of course fear is super intense, and you have madness to a certain point that start mixing with that, and you have compassion, you know, and you have braveness, if I can say. They start. I mean, this no, so the will to survive, and then. And I think Kawa really absorb and think a lot. And it was trying really to portray how you cannot imagine what it feels like in a few hours never to feel that, you know. And so you dive in max, and I just throw myself 100%. You know, I gave everything I had. And no... I didn't say, oh, I have not to do. I just dive in max and gave it all my soul. And Matthew told me, okay. And I give him the best material. I said, after, if he want to like reduce a little bit, up a little bit, you know, it's just like jazz playing. And yeah. You gave it all, and then he's the maestro. And he said, a little bit less. And you have editing. And I said, I give him the best, how the vision I have. And you know, yeah. That's how we're working together, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, with both of these guys, with each of them, I remember where I was sitting in Marrakesh in my hotel room when I saw their auditions. With Adam, he was in his bathroom in like some saggy white t-shirt, and he just looked like a kid. And then he did the read, and I was like, that is Kawa. Like, there's no, why are we messing around with anybody else? Like, this is that guy. He's the way the audience is going to experience this. And with Suhail, you know, he brought up the actual Major Metzer, who's the man who runs, is one of the two leaders of the SWAT team. And he's this massive guy with the, you know, barrel-chested, loud... he's like the, you know, like in the United States we have General Patton, and he's like what every, you know, army guy wants to be. I imagine they all want to be Mitzer. And then I saw Suhail's read, and it was so vastly different and better than what I was thinking that it caused me to kind of rethink the whole character, where I was looking for carbon copies of Mitzer, and then I saw this guy and thought, my God, that's the only way we can do this now. So they were, I mean, for a first time director, they were absolute joys to work with, because any suggestion was immediately embodied on the next take. And if I didn't like it, they would always go back. There was never any restlessness. There was never any, would you hurry up and get it right? You know, it was just, And I do think that that was us embracing this challenge of let's tell it in, you know, some version of their mother tongue in this Baghdad dialect Arabic. Let's use actors from that part of the world. I think it was easier for them to kind of throw themselves into that because, you know, we were trying to do this the best possible, most truthful way we could.
We were proud.
Yeah.
That's the truth. We were proud that Americans and Matthew would say, okay, I put my curiosity in your, I want to do this in your own language. For us, you give your best, you know. It's an opportunity for us. Of course, we have, for once, millions and millions of Arabs. We have a handful of crazy people, and they put an image on us on, in the world, you know. And sometimes you say, people, don't think like that. It's, come on, it's cliche. And you have a person say, I'm going to do this movie and involve people for this cause. And for he's an intelligent voice, you know. An intelligent voice just calm you down deep down inside. You have hope. You say, okay, thank you, you know. And when you say thank you from your heart, you give your best. That's how you do.
Yeah.
Of course, you work together and you try to nail it as good as possible.
Last question for all of you, really. I really love the Adam simile about jazz, because it's like the level of intensity of this film, you know, you keep us constantly on the edge of our seat, but we never get accustomed. And as jazz, you know, to reach that level of intensity, there's a lot of work and hard work and even, you know, blood and sweat and tears. And I just wonder, for each of you, what was maybe the biggest challenge to really get into this, you know, giving all in? Because from a directorial perspective, it's very different probably from an acting perspective.
Yeah.
So that moment that you were like, oh, I need to get on top, you know, beyond this, this big peak, but I have to do it. What was that moment?
I'll go first.
I go first. Okay.
Yeah.
The moment during the shoot, you mean?
In general, like if there was any kind of like the, probably the biggest challenge and difficulty, because you know we're talking about like a real intense shoot. I mean, from my ignorant perspective, that looked very intense.
It was keep the rhythm, never you know never let down. Try because it's every day, a lot of takes, a lot of work all the time, and you say, okay, I cannot melt down right now a little bit, you know, and at some point he remembers the scene where in the basement with the Iranian colonel, which literally was electric in the room. It was completely electric, and myself, I just exploded after the scene. He remember, he came pick me up. I was, it was really like everyone was so deep in it, and for me, this time was like the. Like, yeah, it was the transcendence of the film for me. Like, really, I felt that. I said, okay, we're really touching the nerve of it. I felt like everyone just was to the bone, you know. And it was magical, and at the same time, really tiring and effortless. It, you know, it's passion, so it's good emotion and terrifying a little bit. But you just dive in and you follow your instinct. That's I think, for me, the moment.
I was just dying to get started. Like, so the hardest part for me was finding these guys. Because there is this wealth of talent out there that we in Hollywood, I don't think, really know. And it was just that we cast this quite literally worldwide net to find the best possible people we could. Several, we couldn't even get out of the country because of travel bans and, you know, geopolitics. But I do think at the end of the day, it all, the people who were in this movie were supposed to be in this movie. Not to sound, you know, too new agey. I just think that part for me was the hardest. Because I knew these guys were out there. It was just a matter of finding them. And then once we got on set, it was joy. It was just the best time I've ever had in the movies. And I had this spectacular crew, you know, Mauro Fiore shooting the movie. That's why it looks so beautiful. Phil Ivey designed it. That's why it looks like Mosul and not Marrakesh. Bruce Franklin, who made all the... everybody had to be where they needed to be. The first AD has the hardest job on the set. I just had these great killers, you know, helping me. And once we got to that point, it was just joy. Yeah.
I think when we start arrive to Morocco and we start doing the boot camp, I did a meeting with my team. I told them, look, these people, they trust us. They do a lot of investment about this movie, a lot of money about this movie, and we have to be like what they put their trust in us. And I told them, you have to do whatever your best you can do. Just listen. In the boot camp, we have to train about the military or something like that. How to use the gun, how to move from this room to the other room. I told them, just listen. Listen and do. Just like that. And after that, I told them, okay, don't call me in my name. Nobody call me in my name. Just call me Saidi. And everywhere, they're going to call me in the hotel, we're going outside, they call me Saidi, because we need to keep that, like, in this character. Like, we go to the dinner, yeah. We go together. Yeah. And always there is a moment it's stressful when we start shooting. And it was hard for the other guys, like Adam. It a little bit hard for him for the dialogue, because he's from Tunisia. And the Tunisian dialect is much, much different than Iraqi dialect. Mm. And Matthew, he insists to be like an Iraqi Baghdad dialect, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I sit with him like in 2 hours maybe for one
sound
to make it like right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we need to help each other to make this movie coming out. That's what we need to do.
And I'm pretty sure you did, though.
Oh, like, thank you so much.
Really well.
Yeah, because I think this is...
I think they look... They don't see it, but, like, the time is up.
Oh, okay.
I would love to keep talking to you, but, like, we have wrap it up.
We can catch up, you know, for a coffee later on. We can continue.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to talk about it. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sohail, Matthew, and Adam here for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.